Everyone happy?
It's working. It's working. Tap your mic, Anton. Brilliant.
Better if his wasn't working.
Yeah. Right, welcome back. Episode 2 of The Betting Ring. And I'm excited to get this one going again. I just want to let everyone know while we're here. We are on x.com now, or Twitter as it formerly was, the_bettingring. And we will be posting from time to time our selections throughout the podcast and also any fancies in the week. And we are keeping track of those to hold ourselves to account. Folks, welcome back.
Thank you, Jordan. Nice to be here again.
And we've also got Anton in this week's episode, who is our, I suppose he's the greyhound expert, but also has, he claims 40 years of experience.
And horse racing and expert, horse racing. Thank you.
There you go, horse racing expert as well, apparently. We shall see. I think it's worth noting, let's just see where we are in terms of last episode. We nailed the Schlur Chase. John Bond won, but just.
That's nothing to write home
nothing
about.
Nothing to write 2-5, about. Yeah. Sure. We did speak about Il Redotto.
You did. Yeah.
10-1 winner, and then Let's Go Champ, which was a great ride. 16-1 place. So the two horses covered in that race were spot on. Be aware. Unfortunate second in the Greatwood. I was on each way. I know you weren't.
What was unfortunate?
We tipped it up in the podcast, Anton.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I know you're on Burdett Road.
Correct.
You know, between the three of us, we did all right, didn't we? Strong Run went off 12s in the bumper. I couldn't believe it. Came third. Fergal with
that's a good run.
Second and third. The other unfortunate one, Roll With It.
Desperate.
Yeah.
It was odds on in running.
Yeah, lots of promise.
Thought turning in.
Yeah, we're on one here.
Disappointing in the end, especially when we're on at 14s. Yeah. Goes off 100-30. It's sort of been the story
not
of
finish,
it.
Not even finishing the frame.
Yeah, he petered out. He's off the list now.
Yeah, okay. Off the list. Well, there we go. So there's our little introduction. We'll move straight on into the preview races of this episode, starting with the long distance hurdle, which is now unfortunately being reduced down to only 4 runners. Which was, I thought, was shaping up to be a decent race. Any thoughts on this, Fox?
When there was 9 runners in it, I couldn't make head nor tail of it. I could pick holes with all of them.
Yeah.
Strong Leader doesn't run well fresh. Langer Dan, as we all know, is a spring horse. And, of course, it's a different kettle of fish for it now. It's up into graded races as opposed to handicap races.
Yeah.
Crambo, for me, has definitely gone backwards. And there's a real question mark over Fergal O'Brien's horses at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking the other runners that were in at the time I wrote this was Beacon Edge's 10.
Yep, Dashiell Drasher.
Dashiell Drasher's 11 went chasing. Mon Morale's held on form.
Still in it, Mon Morale.
Yeah, and he's 10-1. And probably the one that may have run simply because it has to now was Doyen's Quest, and as improving as he is and as good as he was at Cheltenham, he's still 14, 15, 16 pound upwards to find with the front three. But having said that, he's on the upgrade, whereas the rest for me are not grade one horses. I've got to be honest. Doyen's Quest, I know Andy's keen on this horse. Doyen's Quest is a horse who could turn out to be a graded horse.
He could, but I don't think he'll run. If the weather turns,
he's not running.
And it goes soft, he won't run.
He's not declared now.
Okay.
The other one I thought about was their other one, Katira, who probably would have won at Wetherby. But not, to me, she's not copper bottomed to stay 3 miles at Newbury. That's a long home straight at Newbury.
Yeah.
You know, and she does get beat a few times as well. She's been beat at short prices at Kempton. She got beat 3s on, I think, last year at some stage. So it was a race. Even if it's 4 runners, I wouldn't be having a bet. No chance.
No.
I personally think they got to grips with Strong Leader in the end of last season.
Winning at Aintree.
Winning on his last. I think this might be the time where he will come out and win first time up. Yeah. They'll figure there's a lot in the race.
It's down to 4 now. 4 runners. Disappointing in it.
Well, I think Strong Leader will win.
All I'd say is it's certainly not the race as it has been in previous years with Paisley Park and Champ and stuff like that. It's a poor addition of that.
I would agree with that. Strong Leader's got no form whatsoever on strong or heavy ground. And the two The two races he's had on strong or heavy.
Soft or heavy.
Nowhere. Mm. And, you know, he's only won on good soft ground. So I was a little cautious going into him there. The one I would have backed, if I had to back any, would have been Crambo. Only because he's won first time out the last three seasons. And then he's gone on for the rest of the season to, you know, not come up to much. But
jump,
first time out,
great to see Crambo.
No, his jumping's let him down in the past a few times. He would have beat Paisley Park in the long walk one day at Ascot.
Yeah,
and almost Paisley worried him out of it, didn't he? Do you remember?
Yeah. It seems to tail off through the season, Crambo. For
might
me,
be the time to back him.
Yeah. Could be, yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, seeing as Crambo was no longer in it. Down to four runners. This is probably a watching race. You know.
How do they bet on that race at the moment?
Even strong leader 13-8 Langerdan, 8-1 Mon Morale, 25 bar.
At those prices, purely on those prices, the outside of the Deborah Cole horse is a non-runner. That'd be beat a fence.
Yeah. Flight deck.
I think. I'd back Mon Morale.
He's had a
run.
And that's the Nichols thing, you know, doing that from first time out.
So you don't like Langerdan?
It's not that I don't like Langerdan, and Langerdan could easily win this on his best form, but first time up on soft ground, as Skelton said in a piece I read the other day, it's a completely different thing this year because we're not preparing him. Everyone used to say it's all about the Coral Cup, and it's a different thing this year.
Langerdan's never run over 3 miles, has it?
No.
Ever.
No, it's 2 mile 4 Aintree. That's true. That's a good point.
I think you find the furthest he's gone is 2.6, 2.7.
Yeah, I think it's 2.5.
And also, this will be a test.
Yeah,
it'll either be heavy ground or it'll be clawing ground.
Well, it's not his time of the season, Langerdan,
correct.
Is it?
No. Yeah, he's a spring horse, isn't he?
Yeah. They get him right for March.
Correct. And, you
know, stable's gone out of form. Seems to
controversially.
I think Harry Skelton's like won in his last 24 or something as of yesterday. I know he had a winner today.
Well, he had one that couldn't help but win, could he?
Yeah, today. Let it rain. Yeah. Langerdan's going to the Stayers. That's
is
his
it
target.
Really?
Stayers hurdle.
But it's a spring horse.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world, to be honest, because that's another weak division for me as well. You take out Te Huupu, I don't know where you'd start to look even, to be honest.
Brave Man's Game?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, let's talk about Brave
Man. We will later, don't worry.
Oh, God. Right, 3 mile handicap, which is the following race on the Friday, folks. This is your little segment, sir. You found one here?
I have found the bet of the weekend.
Oh, here we go.
3:40 at Newbury.
Yeah.
Okay.
Headed by Woody Flash.
And he is the horse for me.
Yeah.
Best bet of all weekend for me. Rapidly improving six-year-old Woody Flash of Ollie Murphy's.
Yeah.
Further he's gone, the better he's looked. Last time at Fosslass, he trounced a horse of John Joe's called Brofshane.
And he just won, didn't he?
And
today.
Yesterday. He, in turn, hammered a handicap snip of Philip Hobbs at Southall. Prior to that, he had a Kelso 2 mile 6 at his mercy.
Yep.
In the pocket, fell over 2 out.
Yep.
And I'm hoping, if Sean Bowen doesn't ride it, I'm hoping Lewis Edmonds rides. He can claim 7. He's the stable claimer.
Yeah.
But this horse is way, way better than 1-2-4.
Yeah. I don't know if Sean's going to be back yet.
I think Sean is jocked up for it.
But
this is way better than a 1-2-4 horse, surely.
What race is this?
3:40.
3:40
Newbury
on the
Friday.
Interesting.
Oh, Sean is jocked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
So he'll carry 10-13 should Chantry House run.
Chantry House is down to run.
Yeah.
So for me, if you go through this race, Largy Poet, Nichols, not run.
No.
Has that changed stables, by the way, Largy Poet? Or was that always Nichols?
Largy Poet was with Stuart Edmonds before. I think you're right, it has changed stables. It wasn't Nichols, yeah. Then there's Hobbs won, not run. Hermino R, Gary Moore, still getting over his juvenile win, dropping down the weight slowly. Then you've got Tranchery House, 10-year-old, 12 stone.
No.
And Sam, 9-year-old. Mm. Hugo's new horse of Nichols, to me, gone.
Yeah.
He's a pop horse in the POP. Astronomic View, Lucy Gardner. Good point. If he can't win this, Woody Flash, I'd be staggered. Absolutely staggered if he can't win this.
Is this a strong bet?
Absolutely.
Strong bazooka. Bet. Like it,
bazooka.
It?
Wow.
That's what we call it. Yeah.
He's definitely got a fitness advantage as well.
Absolutely hosed up. Came from last to first at Fosslass and annihilated Broshane. Mm. Absolutely annihilated it.
Yeah, got to agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put this one forward then. 3-point nap. Everyone happy with that?
Well, we'll go with, two or three, whatever you...
3 points for a strong bet, shall
we? He's against exposed horses, isn't he?
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Woody Flash.
Soft ground. One on soft ground as well.
Yeah. 3-1. Absolute steal of a price.
Left-handed, long straight.
Perfect.
Newbury, very similar to Fosslass, isn't it, really? Same sort of track, isn't it? So, yeah, really happy with that. 3-1, for me, is a fantastic price.
Boom.
Could see that going off. 7-4, 15-8.
Love it. Always like these little injections of a bit of knowledge there, folks. That's delightful. Well, there's your first win of the episode. Let's move on to the Coral Gold Cup on the Saturday. I've got two in this, and I'm hoping... I know at least one of them's going to run. I'm hoping the other one I've got here is going to run. Depending on the ground. It depends on the ground. And I'll tell you why. So the first one I've got, if the ground is good soft, which it might not be with the forecast this week, but if it is, I've found one of David Pipes. Neon Moon is the name of the horse. He's a progressive horse. He's been improving with each run. He's now rated 136. And was seen last time out finishing four lengths behind Chianti Classico at Ascot, who is now rated 157. So if you're telling me four lengths, £21 difference, I don't think so.
I think he was getting a few pounds that day, and Chianti is Kim Bailey's national horse, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he got £7 for winning at Ascot, and he is an Ascot specialist. But the former Neon Moon's previous run to that, at Chepstow, He looked completely tailed at one time and come through and won going away. It's of course a brocade racing horse. He was one of the horses I had down.
Yeah.
Although I'm still really angry about this race because I had done Annual Invictus, Chris Gordon's.
Yeah.
Not entered now, and yet in the Racing Post yesterday, Chris Gordon. Oh, we're aiming Annual Invictus at the Coral Cup on Saturday.
Mm.
So that didn't cheer me up at all.
No.
But I'm convinced, and Neon Moon falls into this category. I'm convinced this is going to be a hold-up horse that wins this.
Yeah.
Horse that stays really well. The ground will be testing, I think, or holding. There is rain due tomorrow. Broadway Boy is a tearaway. Colonel Harry goes from the front. Gallia de la Toe of Skeletons, that goes from the front. Well, that's been well backed. They've all raced prominently. And I think this is going to suit a hold-up horse.
Mm.
I'm waiting to get crucified by Andrew on this. I backed Annual Invictus, and I've had a small bet on the 12-year-old Sam Brown of Anthony Honeyballs. Now, I'd never normally do a 12-year-old in this, but this is the first race in which he's got a realistic chance. It is a bit of a shot in the dark because he's a 12-year-old. But he's running a lot of these graded races, Charlie Hall, the Roland Merrick, and he's had his heart broken so many times in these races he can't win.
Mm.
And a horse, he only finished, I think it was 2.5 lengths behind Brave Man's Game. And
he finished a length behind Brave Man's Game when he was third.
That's right. Was that, who was the winner? I forget, was it in the Charlie
Hall? The Whacker.
The Real Whacker.
The Real Whacker.
The Real Whacker on good ground.
Sam Brown was third.
And staying on. Do you know what I mean about these horses that run in these races? They can't win. A bit like the Real Whacker was, wasn't it? Until he got his ground.
Yeah.
He might get in the frame. if I could find a place only market, he would be my one for certain. He'll be staying on when a few of these have had enough.
Yeah.
And for a Hennessy or a Cole Cup, what they call it now, this is a terrible race.
Yeah.
Nothing like a Hennessy of old, is it?
No.
You think Denman, I think, was 1.57 when he won. None of these horses would, get within 100 yards of
Denman. Well, what's Broadway Boy's about 1.40, isn't he?
Yeah, something maybe a
1.48.
Bit more. 1.48.
1.48.
Yeah. He was unlucky because he went up for his Cheltenham run. Mm. But there's a few that can't win this. And to me, Colonel Harry, no, sir.
No, sir.
More chance of me completing the London Marathon than him staying this trip in soft ground.
There you go. That's bold.
And the Mullins horse, Hiratsu Dairy.
Yeah.
Second, third. Finds a way of getting beat.
Yeah.
Finds a way of getting beat, no matter which way he's ridden. Mm. Front, back, middle, second.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, Folks will make it to the start, would he, of the London Marathon, from the train station to the actual start. He wouldn't even make that walk.
It dropped off there. Yeah.
So that obviously got no chance.
To me, he just can't stay. I don't see how it can possibly stay. You can't go from 2.4 mile to 3.2 mile
on soft heavy ground.
Soft to heavy ground. Horses that go from the front, not an earthly, as Johnny would say. For me,
do you know one who is going to stay? And you've already mentioned him. And this was my other horse. If the ground is testing, and that's Galia de la Tour.
Yeah.
Eighth in the Grand National.
Yeah.
And
soft ground.
Yeah, run. Yeah. Rewind that to the third last. And he would have been favourite to win almost. Yeah. He was cantering, wasn't he?
I agree with that.
Late Night Pass, was it? Because it was
brother-in-law,
wasn't it? No, his brother-in-law, Gino Andrews, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's been backed as well.
And that's Harry's on that one, even though Midnight River is still down to run.
Midnight River's another one I would say that would have a chance as well. But Colonel Harry, a lay for me.
I think a stamina test as well. I've just got a feeling that Broadway Boy is a little bit weak in a finish. I just think he's not a dour like type stayer, is he? I just think he can be outbattled.
Once he's headed, gone. Mm.
Yeah.
He's wonderful to watch around Cheltenham. It suits him down to the ground, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But
but not a bit of a slog.
Which is what you need in this, or you will, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. We were there, Newbury, weren't we?
Yeah.
One day last year, and there was horses unconscious turning into the straight. Yeah. Literally, out on their feet, weren't they?
It's not short straight either.
No, it's not. It's 5 furlongs, isn't it? Four jumps, 3 hurdles.
It's hard to predict this weekend, because if we get this weather, look what happened at Haydock last week.
Mm.
Turned into a mud bath.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Well, there we go. We got a few in there. Neon Moon, Sam Brown, Galia de la Tour. Potentially Broadway Boy. No.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay. I want to go to Newcastle now on the Saturday. And just a little honourable mention. In the first race, the juvenile hurdle, Lavender Hill Mob is set to run, who was already been jocked up for Nico de Boinville, for James Owen. James Owen said that this horse was better than East India Dock.
Yeah.
Whether you believe him or not, that's a different thing. Same but if he's got a better, the same ownership, another ex-flat horse going down the juvenile route, just will be interesting to watch and see, how good he really is.
It's obviously going to be punted.
Correct. If he's better than East India Dock, he must be...
I think he's going to be very short as well. I'll tell you why.
He'd be...
Because Kerry Lee's also got that City of London in the same race, who's that horse that just lost out
The thing that's been completely and utterly...
Sort of standing up now, is it?
My Noble Lord is the name of that.
My Noble Lord, City of London.
Who's been turned over.
From what the trainer said as well, that's...
Yeah. That's a Milan Tino 2.0.
Unbackable, isn't it, for me?
Yeah.
And, I guess, unless you've had a bet in the Triumph Hurdle. I haven't.
No.
And, you know, you'd like to see something.
You don't know, do you?
We always like to see these good horses, you know, run.
Absolutely.
You know, if he thinks it's better than East India Dock, well,
yeah,
you know, fair play. Yeah,
it'll be a good race to watch.
It will be, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, on to the feature race of the at Newcastle on the Saturday, the Fighting Fifth Hurdle, which is turning into Sergino versus Mystical Power and a few others. No Constitution Hill, unfortunately, but hopefully we shall see him in the new year sometime.
Christmas hurdle.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this one, folks?
So, I'm still reeling, as is Andy, I think, from the Fighting Fifth last year being rerouted to Sandown. Do you remember we were on that? I forget the name of the horse now. The thing of Snowden's. I was on at 15-2. It goes up 4-5. You were on the Irish horse at 14s. That was then put in short 11-10 and didn't run. Do you remember? I forget what the horse was. Do you remember it was rerouted to? And Constitution got took out again on heavy ground at Sandown. So I looked at that because obviously with the weather been about.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I think Sergino's, I think he's the quickest horse in the race. But this seems like an afterthought for me because he was going chasing. He was declared to go chasing Monday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, Mystical
just being,
Power.
Just
mystical
being rerouted and
rerouted
messed
and
about
going
with.
Chasing. And yeah. I know they
he's
had...
He's not been messed about.
Well, yes, he was going chasing.
I know he was going chasing and he's schooled over fences. But his preparation hasn't been affected as such.
Well, Barry's been schooling over fences rather than hurdles.
So
Nicky did come out and say that, you know, they're going to have to school him 2 days.
Yeah.
That's not an ideal preparation. You know, I don't... I think it's hard to bring a would-be chaser for a race on the Monday to the Boyle 6 days later, abandoned, move on to hurdling. When you brought a horse to peak, you can't keep a horse peak for me for 6 days. I'm not one to tell Nicky Henderson what to do. It just smells to me. Yeah.
It's only a would-be chaser because Constitution
Correct.
Hill
yes. I
was
get
his
that.
Main champion hurdle horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only difference is, in this race, he might balloon the hurdles
but
a little bit.
He would have been trained...
But
he would
anybody
have been trained
else
different for a chase than he would a hurdle, definitely, because you do less speed work, obviously. But he's the quickest horse, absolute, you know. And his form with Burdett Road, he annihilated
Sergino
that.
Sergino all day long,
really,
absolutely.
I will say Sergino's form obviously has been boosted with Burdett Road winning the Greatwood. But yeah, I don't know. Mystical Power's a good horse.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
You know, it's whether you want to go down the supreme form lines or you go down the...
I just think Sergino is...
Quicker?
Just a little bit of class.
There's something good about him, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, everyone was raving about him looking at when he was at the Newbury Gallops, but obviously after the fact we learned that something was wrong with Constitution Hill, so then how much can you really draw from that, you know? It's a non-betting race for me. If Mystical Power drifts to like threes or something, I might have a little.
I have had a bet in it, and I'm sort of regretting it. But I'm, you know, I'm. It is what it is. I was working on the fact that Constitution wouldn't run.
Yeah.
Then when it was heavy, I thought Mystical Power wouldn't run. And I thought this is going to be four runners.
Yeah.
So I've backed a few outsiders. I've given up on them really.
Yeah.
But I'm on, Nemean Lion.
Yeah.
Who's probably the third top rated now.
Yeah.
Cheers. Chance she's got that's no more. The other one that's is Teller the Name of John Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was on for the Greatwood,
yeah,
off 135.
Yeah.
Now taking on 150, 160 horses.
Yeah,
so if he finishes within 10 lengths of any of them, that's the end of handicaps for him as well, isn't it? It's a strange route for me to go down, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was withdrawn either if it's soft,
yeah.
But,
shame in it, these big grade one races are just small fields. Everyone's trying to avoid each other and whatnot, and they just don't seem to run. Good horses.
Interesting piece by JP. I think it was last Thursday, saying that the way the horses can qualify for races at Cheltenham needs changing because things like Langerdam.
And handicaps.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a great point.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, he said, you know, the Coral Cup, was it 25, I think, 26, Matt?
Yeah, too many runners.
Too many runners. And suddenly, you can't afford to, in inverted commas, cheat because you then run the risk of not getting in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's it.
But in a way, without being libelous, you know, he's the expert at getting these horses, you know, well handicapped, isn't he? You know, we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
Where horses in his colours run well at these meetings, but
yeah.
Okay.
Sugino, then for Anton.
Sugino for me.
Yeah. Well,
that will go. All being well, go champion hurdle route.
I hope it does.
Yeah, it would be.
But will Sugino and Constitution ever meet in the champion hurdle?
No, surely not. Surely not.
So
if he gets Constitution back
to
his best, then they'll send Sugino novice chasing.
Would they? But that's going to be January, February. Well, the season's coming to an end. Yeah. Would they keep his novice status for the following year?
Yeah, that's the point.
Well, very interesting.
But they've got to go champion hurdle route at the moment.
Sugino.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm. Okay. Moving on to the Sunday, the final race we will preview. We got the Hatton's Grace at Fairy House. This is the Tiapu versus Lossy Mouth at the top of the market. I think there's only four runners in this as well. Yeah. Another shame. Well, markets have squeezed in both. Tiapu was 4-6 favourite, and now they're both into 10-11, 11-10. I fancy Tiapu in this race mainly for the reason that we've just spoke about with Sugino. It just feels like Lossy Mouth's been thrown all over the place, and you know.
This is last week she was injured.
Yeah.
Was due to run over 2 miles, take on Bright Days Ahead, take on Stake Man. 6 days, her bruised foot's cleared up, and she's now taking on the top star in the country.
Yeah.
Or in this side of the.
Can't have her.
No.
Can't have her.
No.
I can't back a horse who's been lame.
6 days ago.
A week ago.
Mm.
Against a stayer.
Who's targeted this race?
Although Lossy Mouth stays, obviously.
Mm.
But, you know, what are they doing with Lossy Mouth? I don't know.
Mm.
Are they keeping their options open?
She would have to beat Tiapu without turning a hair to win a champion hurdle, because Brighter Days Ahead, she won't get near Brighter Days Ahead in the mare's hurdle for me.
Well, the reason she's running in this race is, we think, is because the yard know that she's not as good as Stake Man.
That's exactly my thought.
And what is the distance in the Hatton's Grace?
Two mile four.
That's another problem I've got. When you start running 2 mile horses over further, and you start bringing them back to
down.
The champion hurdle, I always think it blunts their speed a little bit. So they're running in a stayer's race and being ridden like a stayer.
Correct.
And then you bring them back to this fast-paced 2 mile, and all of a sudden they're not quickening. They've been blunted.
Too quick, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's just my opinion.
I don't want this to happen, believe me, but I could see it either being took out, Lossy Mouth, or I could see it tailing off.
Yeah.
There's something not right with a horse who's been lame.
Yeah.
You know, to run in 6 days later, it just... I think the same about Sugino.
It's hard to put your money there.
There's going to be a few questions answered this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think the trainers, like of Lossy Mouth, are just, and Sugino, are finding out, basically.
No, good point. Yeah. Absolutely good point. But it's a race to watch, isn't it? And
it's a race to watch.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm. There we are. Okay, well, that's it for our preview section. We thought we'd introduce a new topic. This is going to be my listening segment because, you know, as a 25-year-old, I've not been around the game for long enough to have an input on this one. So we've had a few questions from some of our some of our listeners and also the people that come to Cheltenham with us. One very notably, Mr. Marty, who's a massive Mullins
fan. Marty
Mullins. Marty Mullins, massive Mullins enjoyer, and will bet him blind until he's got no money left to bet. And obviously, you're a very big advocate of what Martin Pipe did. So we're going to have a little debate here for a second of Martin Pipe versus Willie Mullins.
Oh, okay. And,
so, Andy, you're of an age with me. We grew up with
Martin Pipe.
MC Pipe, as we know.
Correct.
And I'm... Look, Mullins is a genius. No question of it.
Is he a genius?
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. I think he's a genius.
I think the reason he's a genius...
Do you think Gordon Elliott could do the same if they swapped horses?
That's a good point. Really good point.
Mm. I think that's happening, you know.
I think Mullins is a genius because he's got so many horses. I think he's a genius because he's got so many horses and he knows...
But he's got all grade one horses. What?
He's got 400 grand horses.
Yeah, what's he got to do, like?
Yeah, you still got
feed them and turn them out.
You still got to train them. I get that. You know, and his setup's brilliant, obviously. But what would Martin Pipe do with these horses? I've said this time and time again. He revolutionised national hunt. Horse training, didn't he?
Yes, training.
Do you agree? Training
them. Absolutely.
You know, he was the first to check their blood, have MRIs, their heart rates, dentistry. He was the first one to have heating in their boxes at night and stuff like this. Absolutely.
So Martin Pipe, with that in mind, was buying horses out of selling races for like $3,000 at Newton Abbott, cat's eyes, and absolutely... Well,
as I told you before, I was at Leicester the night Make a Stand won a claimer under Billy Noons by half the track, paid $14,000 for that from Henry Candy, won the Ladbroke Hurdle at Newbury, won the Champion Hurdle without turning a hair. You know, I'm thinking of, you'll remember these horses, Andrew. Melendez.
Yeah, yeah.
7 on the trot, went off about 8-1 for the Triumph. Yeah. Make a Stand. As you say, Cat's Eyes. And the, what was the name of the mare that won, was bought in a terrible race somewhere and then ended up winning the 2-mile 6 at Ascot, Sweet something it was called. I forget the name of it now. But... Remember the Farrant colours, the blue and the red stars?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was unbelievable.
I could go back to like Corporal Klinger days.
Yeah, Baron Blakeney was another one. You know, when Leach used to ride. You know, absolute genius.
But to me, that is a genius of a trainer rather than a trainer being sent grade one horses like Michael Dickinson back in the day. You know, he was given... What did he have? First 5 home in the Gold Cup. They were all really good horses. You know, he didn't revolutionise anything, really.
The other thing I think people should remember is, you know, Willie's got owners that have got 20, 30 horses with him. There's 200 in Cole Sutton. You know, I don't remember Martin having owners that had that many. David Johnson probably had a few later on in time. But there was never a big owner, was there?
No.
It was the racing club probably had most of the horses at one stage.
Yeah.
Had the guy, Ballinacurra Lad, who had the car showroom in Taunton. White's, I think he was called. They had a few. But, you know, Martin was the first one to use these really stiff uphill gallops at Nicholas Ayne. You know, and the other thing I think is important, he got his jockeys right. He had Scudamore, he had McCoy, and they were both jockeys that had a great clock. They went from the front. You know, we've seen it hundreds of times at Newton Abbott. Yeah. How many times have we seen go off in front, and some of the other horses are out on their feet before they've done the circuit.
That was another genius thing by him. Back in the day, not a lot of people wanted to make the running with their horses. Martin Pipe, every time, said, right, go out, you've got to catch me.
Put a gun to the head straight away.
Straight away.
Mm. And if you were 10 clear and made a mistake, you're suddenly 15 clear, aren't you?
Yeah.
I just
think it was remarkable what he did with those horses.
And, of course, moving forward, much like Willie now, Henderson, JP as an owner, they started... It was Martin who started to buy these horses from France.
Yeah, yeah.
He started to buy... What's the name of the jockey? He had the second jockey. He was a good lad. Jonathan Lower. And he had a really bad injury. And he had like a satellite yard, didn't he, over in France that Jonathan Lower looked after.
Right.
And I'm thinking of some of the French horses that he brought over. Cypher Malta. Cyborgo.
Chaser.
And then he took on... The other side of the coin was he took on... Lady Cricket was another one from AQPS races over there.
Carville's Hill.
That's what I was coming. That was Paul Green. It was trained by Jim Draper, and it couldn't walk. It was literally, in his words, in his book, he said he was like a cripple when it arrived.
Yeah. Mm.
It was hobbling, you know, and probably one of the best horses I've ever seen. Certainly, when he won the Welsh National, it was brilliant. And you know, he nursed these horses back somehow, and was that 12 stone that day? 12 stone at Chepstow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And hosed up that day, Unsinkable Boxer was another one.
Yeah.
Got back, same owner, funnily enough, Paul Green. And he got that back off the sort of hospital bed.
Mm.
Just phenomenal what he did with, you know, A, moderate horses.
I think you could go on and on about his achievements and, you know, what he did.
Olympian.
It's hard to compare... him to say, oh, Willie Mullins.
To era, sort of.
Yeah. Mm. Because, you know, Willie Mullins hasn't got a horse out
from
of
a
cellar.
Mm.
Or, you know, he's got the top horses coming into the yard.
That's
so
it.
It's hard to really...
That's it.
And I think also, I think you shouldn't underestimate the people who buy these horses. You know, for instance... You know, trainer you quite like, Tony Martin, he gets these horses, a lot of ex-Aga Khan horses, like Henry Graffard and people like this, you know, trained them in France. Soft ground horses generally, but the Aga Khan's horses, generally he breeds middle distance horses, so they're perfect for hurdling, aren't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them are highly rated and they run enlisted races in France and stuff like that, then pop up with Tony Martin, Hamzian, you know, the one at Cheltenham, that was one.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Get some well handy
cats. What's that thing I fell for a few times? Remember Tony Martin's one?
Oh, God.
Not Hasnapur. Something like that. But it was an Aga Khan horse, you know. But.
Unanswered 2 years ago.
Unanswered 2 years ago, yeah. That's the next flat horse. So these AQPS horses that run in France, you know, you think of some of the. The horses that are bred now by these AQPS horses, they're suddenly a sire that will come from nowhere because they're relatively cheap. I just wrote down before, Sanderson, the AQPS horse. AQPS horse is a horse that's not, one side of the breeding is not 100% thoroughbred.
Mm.
Right, so it can't be called a thoroughbred because it's not thorough, obviously.
Sure.
But Sanderson was the sire of Fast or Slow, Protectorat, and also a son of Cadoudal, another French AQPS horse. And they found ways to find these horses by non-thoroughbred sires, you know, and they can keep going back to the same thing. Cauto Star, they did it, didn't they? They started doing it in France as well. It is quite hard to compare the two trainers. I'd love to see Martin with a few of these. Rich Richies or Giggins Town Barn, I think it'd be frightening.
Yeah.
You know.
But I just think the things that Martin Pipe did and thought up about doing stands him above Willie Mullins for me.
Yeah.
Shape the modern game.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. 30 years ahead
completely
of his time.
Completely changed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Very interesting to listen to that. Obviously, that's before my time. I wasn't.
Talking about French horses, sorry. Yeah. This Kingman is not coming over then, I hear.
So Kingman's owned by people who've got horses with Mulholland and Bryn Pawling, not coming over for the stayers.
No.
And the owner, actually, they're a Scottish couple, the McLernans, I think they're called, or McKiernans, they said that next target, 2027 Gold Cup, just like that. So.
Strange. Mm. Thought they might have had a crack at the
stayers.
Mm.
Yeah, really impressive.
Certainly
Sunday
looks impressive,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah. Well, brilliant. I'm sure a lot of people at home enjoyed that little segment. Reminiscing maybe of...
Hope you enjoyed that, Marty.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Special
Martin
mention.
Pipe rules over Willie Mullins.
Willie Mullins, yeah, absolutely. I want to introduce a new little segment to the show, which folks actually come up with a name for, Picks for Prestbury. So this is going to be, and we don't have to do this every week. If you don't have a horse you don't want to put forward, but this is going to be one anti-post selection for the Cheltenham Festival. And I'm going to be writing these down, so after the festival we can keep everybody to account, and the prices you'll get are the prices you would put on anti-post if it was right now.
Perfect
this moment.
Perfect timing, okay? Jordan, for me, this.
What?
You've got one lined up,
absolutely.
I hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what,
absolutely.
Anton.
Absolutely.
You can go first.
Okay. Right, so my first anti-post bet for Cheltenham will be in the Supreme Novice Hurdle.
Okay.
And it will be Romeo Coolio at 10-1.
10-1.
I will be weighing in this weekend before it runs on Sunday, is it?
Punchestown.
I think it runs on Sunday. So the price is going to disappear or shorten after Sunday.
Okay.
I think.
You hope?
I hope.
The way of all good anti-post bets, they're only good until it runs the next time.
But I will be betting it to win me a grand at 10-1.
Very nice. One of the top monsters last year.
Yeah, I do like this horse.
Mm-hmm.
This is class.
This is the one.
This is
Supreme Novice's Hurdle. Yeah. His favourite in the betting at the moment as well.
Still tens available, isn't
still
there?
Still tens.
Yeah, good.
Yep, still tens. Eights and sevens in places, though. And
This is going to be
exchange.
Maximum 3-1 on the day. If
Cheltenham?
Maximum. Yep.
Supreme?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow. Bold.
Of course, it's running in the Royal Bond, isn't it, on Sunday?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm guessing he'll be short Sunday?
Let's have a look.
I've not really seen the opposition.
I know you've gone on about this horse before. You do like this horse.
5-4 on.
Is it?
Belosio, Blue Devassi, Sea of Sands, Bottler's Secret. Yeah.
Well, if he beats Blue Devassi, surely he's going to be quite a short
surely
price.
Surely he won't run. Elliot won't run two, will he?
No,
surely.
I would have thought so.
Because
that's his other good one, isn't it? Blue Devassi.
He did win well on hurdle debut, but obviously went off 13-2 on. So you'd expect so.
That's down rule. That was a walk around.
Didn't beat much, Jordan, but it was the way he done it.
Sure.
So,
and the way he jumped as well.
I'm not going to crab it. It's not a horse I know too much about. But what happened at Punchestown? Was he over the top then? Redemption Day beat it. He's not a horse I particularly like.
Was that in a bumper?
That was the last bumper, yeah. He might have gone by then, I think. That was on good ground as well.
Well, grade one, put a line through his bumper
right.
runs, really. He's learning, isn't he?
Yeah, sure. fair comment. Yeah. And I think there's been
a few pounds
for it
already. Nonetheless, 10-1 will be value, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I can't imagine he's that on the day. Even if he's not favourite, you know.
If he wins on Sunday, it'll be what 4-5-1.
Okay, if he wins well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Is he Is that the most likely race for him? Stick to two.
That's the only race.
Okay.
For Romeo Curiel, right? Okay. Supreme, because I'm not backing any horses like Mullins horses that have got motorable. They can be, you know.
They can go anywhere in Hawaii, can't they? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm sticking to those sort of anti-post bets.
Do you know what I call that? That's a safe anti-post selection.
Thank you.
I don't think you won't get egg on your face with that one. But you're also not taking much risk. It's a good entry-level anti-post selection, that. Okay. So I appreciate that.
Entry-level.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. We'll have to take that and
dissect.
Put it on a shirt. Level.
We're going to put it on a shirt. Right, folks.
What? Yes.
Have you got one this week?
I have. And I really fancy this. I really do.
Is this entry-level? Is this
No.
This is experience. Unbelievable.
So, yeah, thanks, Jordan. So my first pick for Prestbury is a Willie Mullins horse, funnily enough, who I'm not the biggest fan, so it's a rare thing.
I was not expecting that.
No, quite. And this is in the Brown Advisory.
Okay.
The one race, probably, a bit like Andy's, where he's certain to go for. This is the same, I think. The horse is called High Class Hero, 33-1 at the moment. Owned by the Sullivan Bloodstock people, people of Silvignano Conti, the red with the hoop. So he's already rated 148, okay, from novice hurdles last year. He got beat half a length on his final run by Dancing City, who was their top staying novice last year. Yeah. And this fella was right behind him that day. Now, he stepped up in trip halfway through the year, finishing with that race at Punchestown. My one worry is that he bombed out at Cheltenham. Mm. Paul Townend said he pulled too hard. And I think you can forgive him because, you know, he did come back and then run really well at Punchestown later on in the year. So Mullins in a recent stable tour said he's being aimed at all the top staying novice chases. And obviously Brown Advisory is the obvious one.
Yeah.
And interestingly, and a bit surprisingly, of the Mullins battalions, there's not that many who fit the bill for that. He's got lots of more speed horses, 2 mile, 2 mile, 2.5 mile novice chases. But I would imagine this guy and Dancing City, if he goes chasing, which he probably will, I would say these two would be the top two. Yep. He stayed on strongly in a point in ground that was described as nearly unraceable. Mm-hmm. His first point, it didn't look so great. He was beat 20 lengths by American Mike. But his second and third, his third run, he hosed up in that part, in that point, you know, like I say, almost unraceable. Mm. He's by Suleimani, son of Suleimani, and a grandson of Turgeon, which obviously shouts long distance. Suleimani's others, Honeysuckle, Potterman, 3 mile five, Copperhead, Twigs, stuff like that.
Yeah, stays.
So he's my first anti-post. I'm expecting him to run at Limerick over Christmas in the Faheen novice chase, 2 mile four.
Yep.
Or there's a 2 mile four. There's a 3 mile race at Nace in early January.
Yeah.
Which Mullins quite often introduces best. So that's my first one. I've had a nice bet on that. 33s with 365. High class hero.
High class hero. William Advisory. I like that. And I like it as a bold selection, I'll tell you why.
I've got no opinion on that at all.
Well, that's fine. It's not your anti-post pick, Anthony.
not one that's come up on my radar, really.
Well, no, but this is a fiddly little plot. It's good. And the reason it's good is because the favourite for this race, who everyone's talking about, is Ballyburn.
Not for me, sir.
Well, and many...
Ballyburn won't win that, surely.
No.
He'll go for the Arkle.
He'll go for the Arkle, won't he?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think.
But Ballyburn's favourite for everything.
He's still five.
He's favourite for the Donkey Derby at Paignton in the summer. Sure. He's favourite for every race that's mentioned, isn't he?
Well, yeah. And not many people like him after this week for chasing prospects, shall we say.
Not for
me. Not impressed with him. Not impressed at all. Too careful.
Way too careful.
Too slow. You know, didn't really take off over
he
the
He was
fences.
Forced into it rather than...
ridden into it, sort of.
Rather thing. Than... Right, I'll take these on.
Anyone that watched Up the Ante this week,
yeah,
Johnny was spot on. In a race like the Arkle, where he's put to the test,
helter skelter
in between horses,
yeah,
he's going to lose a length at every jump.
You can't do that.
But okay. Who's to say he might improve his jumping? I don't know.
I've seen more polished performances from novices, haven't you?
Yeah, but at the moment, not for me.
No.
For the sake of working this out all at the end, we'll just assume that every imaginary better is 1 point each way.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Obviously, at anti-post prices, you're getting a bit of value there. So, Anton Romeo Coolio, 10-1 in the Supreme. Folks, High Class Hero, 33-1 in the Brown Advisory. And my anti-post selection, and one that I know you're, Anton, not going to be very keen on.
Drum roll.
Yeah, is a horse we watched when we went to Cheltenham.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
You mentioned this to me.
Yeah.
I know.
And you're not going to like it because it's not Irish. And it's going to be Fortune Demer for the champion bumper at 25-1 for Dan Skelton. And the reason I say this, and I listen to you, you know, you look at the Irish in the champion bumper, how many times have they won it? Numerous times. They Skelton's horse last year, Royal Infantry, finished 8th. Ran well last year. I remember backing it just because it had the heavy ground form. But all of its previous bumpers, of which it won, it didn't look that impressive. You know, he was trying hard to win those races. And, you know, how much
he ran in some good bumpers, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is the horse that won on the bridle.
This is the one that won on the bridle.
Yeah.
A very cheeky ride.
Yeah.
Completely, Harry's taken the mick completely. You know, you can never be sure quite how much he had underneath him.
It turns out he wasn't taking the mick. It turns out that he was instructed by Dan to ride it that way.
And against the rail.
Against the rail, yeah, so he had nowhere to go because the first time he ran, he threw the race away.
Right.
So they knew they had the beating of the Irish horse.
Yeah.
Ridden differently. But... Still a good horse.
The form of that, because the Irish horse that finished third at Cheltenham that day when he won had hosed up twice in Ireland
previously,
behind a horse and beat a horse that won that day a bumper in Ireland by you know, distances, you know, light years. And you could say the Irish horse was slightly disappointing, but you know, what worries me is the horse that finished second, you know. But he could have, he won the race, really, was it?
But
he did no more than an exercise gallop, did he, really?
No. That's the thing I like. He won on the bridle, and he's got that Cheltenham win under his belt now. I think course form is huge when you're in March. So 25-1 for Fortune Demer for me. I just think, and I suppose the other point with Dan Skelton, I'd say... The horses I've seen him run this year, it just feels like he's getting more and more powerful each year.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of what he's got.
Nothing's really stood out so far like in previous Cheltenhams for me.
And he won't be afraid of running two or three in that, so he's, I'd say, cast iron to run in that race, I'd have thought, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Soft ground, he won't mind either. So.
Yeah.
He'd probably be suited by a big field, getting amongst them.
Fast pace.
Come through them.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, obviously.
That's a good point.
It's the way
try and get that rail.
Last year's winner, Jasmine DeVoe, won. Same thing, isn't it?
Mm. Well, what was it? Jasmine DeVoe, Romeo Coolio.
Yeah, it was.
What else
second.
Was in
the... The thing we were on at big prices was out to back, finished fourth. Didn't it?
But it was a good bumper, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good bumper.
And I don't think there's anything like that this year so far.
Well, I think from memory, the top of the market horses, I thought, came out December, January time for their first runs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
I can't remember seeing these bump horses, I just remember thinking, oh, he's come out of nowhere. You know, he's just ran, he's ran once in Ireland, now he's going straight to the champion, well, bumper's favourite.
I've had a sneaky little bet myself on one for the bumper that hasn't ran yet. But all I can say is the favourite at the moment, which is trained by Gordon Elliott, at 8-1, apparently he has 3 better than that. So
I was staggered when I heard this, that he was 8-1.
To me, he beat, this would be deposed as favourite
very soon.
Very shortly.
Yeah. Okay. The horse he beat, Soir de Garde, was a horse you and I knew about last year. And he's an injured horse, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was off for a year and a bit.
He's had more training problems than Constitution Hill.
And the race on Sunday, he cantered round at the front under Patrick, and the moment he come under pressure, out the back of the telly, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's beat nothing there. Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
But he's Gordon Elliott, on record, I've got 3 better than that one.
So I know you can't go on money. They only paid, I think it's 58 grand for it or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was Soir de Garde a French, one of these French recruits everyone was raving about?
Yeah, last year he was favourite for the champion, for the champion bumper.
I backed him for the champion, yeah.
I backed him with you.
Never ran.
Yeah.
You did my bet, mate.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. There we go, then. There's our little picks for Prestbury. We'll be interested to see how that shapes out through the season.
Yeah, good.
We don't need to put forward one of these every episode, but just when you really fancy something that's shaping up.
That's right, yeah.
You know, if you know someone's been nailed on, targeted for a race, and you know he's going to be a definite runner, then for sure we can look at doing that. Let's move on to the final segment, which is our weekly or bi-weekly episode, should we say. Every episode, our £10, both teams to score fourfold in the football. And
I'm out of this.
Thank goodness. Yeah, you are, Anton.
I'm retiring.
No Chelsea fans allowed in this, sir.
Shall I make a cup of tea?
Yeah. Thank goodness the international break is over. We can get back to proper football. That's all I can say.
Can I just say something before I go?
So you do want to be in this segment, yeah?
No.
It's only going
to
take 2
I want to go back to Cheltenham.
Oh, all right.
The Ryanair.
Okay.
Does Grey Dawning go for the Gold Cup, which is a bit of a doubtful stayer?
I think he is going for the Gold Cup.
Or an absolute certainty in the Ryanair?
You're not wrong.
Absolute stonewall certainty if he ran in that.
But he's running in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
That's what Dan said.
I think he's a doubtful stayer, don't you?
He reminds me of Protectorate.
Mm.
He reminds me of Brave Man's Game.
It was in a good run at Haydock.
Brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. In he just got ground, tired.
Yeah.
I mean, going to the last, he went past World Pagay like he was stood still.
Yeah.
Soft ground at Cheltenham. There'll be stronger stayers.
Up the hill. I can't see.
I agree with you about the Ryanair, but I think
it's a certainty in that.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I do think, from what Dan said, it will run in the Gold Cup, though.
Yeah.
He seems.
Yeah.
You know. What's the other one they've got that could possibly run in the Ryanair? I suppose Ginny's Destiny will go for the Ryanair.
There's Protector out there.
Protector out. Too old, I think, now. He'll definitely run in the Gold Cup though. Can I just mention something about
it? Yeah, absolutely.
How weak now is the stayers hurdle? You know, Tahupu's going to run this week. For instance, if Tahupu got beat this week, what's the next sort of, what's next in after Tahupu that you could say, this is going to run in the stayers? You know, you're looking at, I don't know, Bob Olinger, stuff like that, horses that are getting on a bit. Home by the Lee, he's been beating it twice, as we know.
The betting is, the anti-post betting is abysmal. It's 2s 14 bar.
What's the next three bar Tahupu?
Strong Leader, who, you know, Strong Leader.
Not unearthly.
Even Lossy Mouse in the bay. Impere Pass. Dancing City.
So that's the one I said.
Home by the Lee, I suppose, will Stayers route again.
Yeah.
He's always a good price on the day.
Dancing City, surely that would go chasing.
Yeah. Los Angeles Blue.
Don't know that. Don't know Los Angeles Blue. Okay.
There's not many. Mystical Power, like Hidden Valley Lake. Langerdan, we know he's going for the stayers now. It's just going to be a poor race. He's going to be two to one on the day.
He will. And yeah. If he wins 2-1 in November or nearly December, he's not a good anti-post price. But you'd struggle to find something, wouldn't you, to beat it? Don't you think?
Yeah.
On all the ground comes alike to him, he's guaranteed to run in that.
Yeah, and to be fair, Johnny Dineen did say that this week on Up in the Ante, didn't he? From episode one, saying absolutely wouldn't back Tiupu at that price, to now I think he is good value because there's nothing else.
It's thin, that race. Yeah. It really is thin, that race. It's a shame.
But could the Champion Hurdle go the same way? If Lossy Mouth bombs out this weekend, State Man could be getting caught up now by the younger horses. Constitution Hill, I'd be very surprised if they do actually get this horse back.
That would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
So then you've got Sugino and brighter days ahead.
If you gave me a tenner now to have a bet in the Champion Hurdle, it'd still definitely be Constitution Hill.
Would it?
100%.
You think he could come from having colic to 100%. Being lame to all sorts of problems, come back to his best?
State Man, 17 lengths behind it. Never ever seen anything but its backside in the distance.
Yeah, but can't go on the past.
What I'm saying is, if he runs in it, for me, he's still favourite and he's the most likely winner.
What, even if he goes straight to the Champion Hurdle?
Well, he won't run in that case. He'll have to go for the Christmas Hurdle, or he'll then go possibly to the Kingwell, but that's only 3 weeks before. If he has one run, if he runs at Christmas and wins the hurdle at Kempton,
looks like he's back to form, then
pass the post for me.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah,
he's got so much in hand.
But do you think a horse could do that? Come back from all those points?
I really hope so.
I'm praying. I'm praying he does.
You know, and I do think that the Mullins team. I think Jordan said it just now. I do think the Mullins team know that Lossy Mouth won't beat State Man.
Yeah, but State Man's beatable. No, I think.
So wherever if State Man's beatable, the only horse that keeps hammering him is Constitution Hill.
Mm.
I see 5-1 somewhere. Madness.
Yeah.
I'd certainly back Constitution Hill at 5-1 in front of State Man at 7-2 or Lossy Mouth at 5-2.
Yeah.
But with all his problems that he's had, it's going to take somebody said, a magician to get this horse back to its best.
Henderson's video the other night I watched with him, he said he's doing walking again, he's fine. You know.
I think Henderson's always slightly more upbeat than what he lets on.
Mm. But there has been times he's saying
it's a lot for a horse to come back from.
Yeah.
I just think he's the best hurdler around.
He is.
He was slick, good ground.
But that's State not Man, the point.
State it's Man
the,
wouldn't. No. I don't.
Yeah.
State Man, for me, he's one of the worst Champion Hurdle winners I've seen for ages. Probably alongside.
Oh, wow. That's controversial.
Probably alongside Bovadare. You know, look, he wins four races in Ireland every year, 6 on, 8 on, 10 on.
Flat track bully.
Comes up to Constitution Hill and whoosh, gone.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't. It's, for me, not a. You know, it's like Gallop and Deschamps. People saying, oh, he's great, he's a legend and all this. The 8 horses that have finished behind him in the last 2 Gold Cups, Corrock Rambler, Grand National Horse, Ahoy Senor, Grand National Horse that's gone, Noble Yates, Grand National Horse, 4 Mile Horse, Brave Man's Game, non-stayer, Protectorate, non-stayer, Jerry Colom, gone. You know.
Jerry Colom. Yeah.
Jerry has gone, Jerry's as far gone. As I'm concerned.
Well, there you go.
I agree.
The form is just, you know, it's just not these horses get caught up. It's like,
well, the younger brigade are coming through, like, you
spot
know,
on
what happened at the weekend. Factor file got to him now.
Yeah.
Whilst we're on about that, 16-1 Spillane Tower each way for the Gold Cup to me. He's fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Trainer said afterwards he hadn't even got him on the grass before that race on Saturday, Sunday.
Terrific, oh, wow. Ron.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Mm. Like you say.
What worried me, though, was he didn't seem to go through with his effort. Do you know what I mean? He got there like you're thinking, this is going
to
win.
It did look like lack of a run to me.
Yeah, yeah. If you put that down to lack of a run, then 16-1 is great value.
And certain to go for the race.
Yeah,
small trainer, can't possibly go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, you know, him at 16s or fast or slow 12s, to me, is no contest, is it you?
Absolutely.
I'm not ready to write off Galopin Deschamps yet. And he lost the race last year to fast or slow and still wins the Gold Cup.
There's comfortably. No factor file. Galopin Deschamps will never beat Factor 5 again, as long as he's breathing, as far as I'm concerned. You?
I'm not willing to go quite that far.
That's a bit soon, folks, I reckon.
To be honest. I think they are catching him up now, but, I mean, it's still a pretty good run. But no, I prefer to back the younger horses coming through than Galopin Deschamps.
Okay, there we go. Both teams score. What are your two selections I need this week, folks?
We got distracted.
Good stuff in
Wolves, Bournemouth.
Wolves, Bournemouth.
Yeah. Bournemouth score and let in goals. Wolves are hitting a bit of form.
They are.
So I could see that 2-1 maybe either way.
Sure.
And the other one is Norwich and Luton.
Yes.
Norwich at home scoring for fun. Luton seem to score every game.
But don't win.
But sadly for Marty, they don't win.
Can't
but,
win.
But yeah, they would be my two.
Okay, I've gone with Blackburn Leeds, only because Leeds' away form has been questionable this year. We've not run too many littered with goals, but we've won. Our Elland Road form is very, very good, but they're away to Blackburn. Blackburn, good side, great side last year. Still like to score goals at 8-11 for those. And the other game I've gone with Preston West Brom. West Brom scoring goals away. Preston like a goal at home. Aren't doing the best this season, but I can see both teams scoring in that one.
Right.
That gives us a price. I think similar of last year.
Just over episode. 8-1, wasn't it?
I've got 7.2 on Sky, but 7.24-1.
Right. Are we? It was mentioned to us by one of the listeners that we should put this money to a local charity.
Yes.
Happy with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So absolutely.
We'll put in the money for that and then we'll present that at the end of the football season.
Absolutely. So far I've got my little table here. So far we are down a tenner on the first one. We had two of them came in and we had 2-0s, unfortunately. It seems to get like that, doesn't it? In a game that's destined for goals. As soon as there's one goal, there'll be more goals. Yeah. But breaking the ice to start is always the way. Right, so that is... Got that down.
And just while we're on it, the next episode will be the 12th or the 13th of December.
Yeah. We'll try to do this every bi-weekly, I suppose.
Yeah, pre-Cheltenham, the mid-December meeting, plus also we'll look at the racing over the Christmas period and also the Welsh National. So that will give us something to get our teeth into.
Absolutely. Remember, we are on Twitter now, the_bettingring, if you want to keep track of our bets from this episode and also anything that comes up during the week that we fancy. Folks, thank you for coming
on
again.
Of course. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Anton?
Yep, great lads. Thanks for the invite. Next time I'll do a bit of research.
There won't be a next time, mate.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
Got him.
And some...
You should have seen his face.
A bit of talk on betting on greyhounds. Can you do that?
I can do,
I think for me especially, as I walk into a bookies and I look at it on the screen, I'm like, what are they even going off here, all these forecasts? So just a bit... Probably an insight into your process rather than picking out horses.
Yeah,
just the process, just to give a little
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
It's like a little teaching session.
Although it's slightly difficult at the moment because we're getting the weather, the bad weather at the moment. Greyhound tracks are cambered. So the rain either runs to the middle of the track, i.e. the rails, or it runs off the track to the outside. So, you know, like...
You do get a bias.
Cold weather, you'll get a bias on the track.
Sure.
So I could give you, say, trap six one night, and the outside dogs have got no chance.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's favouring the inside.
Sure.
Or vice versa. It goes like that in the winter.
Sure.
But I can certainly give you the process.
Give a little process. Next episode, a little process.
You know, a couple of forecasts for that night or something.
Yeah. And see how they go. Yeah, no problem.
Great.
We'll keep track of them as well. So that's what we like to do.
Yes.
Hold everyone to account. Yeah. Very
Thank
important.
Thank you for coming on, though.
I
really enjoyed it, Andrew.
Pleasure, boys. Pleasure.
Pleasure. Good. Right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget Romeo Culio Sunday. Take the 4-5.
Oh, yeah.
Great price now.
Okay.
And the 10-1 for the Supreme.
We'll be fives after Sunday. You've heard it here
first. Correct, sir.
Very bold.
Not for me, sir.